Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College Podcast. How has the idea of social aid so pervasively replaced salvation in some people's mind today? Great question. That's what we're going to deal with on the IBC Podcast. Brother Bobby Kilman has written an incredible article for the IBC Perspectives, and that's what we're going to be reading in and then listen to an interview with Brother Kilman and myself. Looking forward to that. Hope you enjoy. There was a cultural revolution in the 19th century with our society turning from God's revelation to humanistic skepticism. In places like France, there was a growing optimism that modern man could transform modern society. They replaced revelation with man's reason, suggesting there were no constants of existence defined by God and the Bible. Therefore, reality could be shaped by humans once we reject these false parameters. Out of this claim, a new priesthood or set of experts on society emerged. The argument was that if modernism produced a new age, only modern ideas could find or have the necessary answers. So secular sociology and the secular sociologists preaching liberty, equality, and fraternity as defined and achieved by human effort displaced theology and the church. This utopian view of human progress and its ability to bring change or positive results put human interest as always paramount. In conjunction with this, it rejected the supernatural. So the pre-modern or biblical views were replaced by modernism with its rejection of the supernatural and inerrant revelation. For example, ideas such as the belief that family is a God-given unit were downplayed or rejected, and religious thinking lost any social acceptability. But the results have been clearly catastrophic. For instance, when man is in complete control without any accountability or has unchecked power, the fallen nature of humanity seizes secular sociology's utopian ideas about anthropology and dashes them on the rocks of reality. Communist governments have murdered more than 94 million people. When secular sociology is our theology, or when humans try to be God and order society alone, the results are always devastating. However, when theology is our lived sociology, or humanity operates within the irrevocable laws of existence laid out in God's revelation, we find blessing. One example is new research shown by Dr. Dina Friedman, a European anthropologist and economist from the London School of Economics. She argues that Pentecostalism has done more for Africa than all humanitarian aid organizations combined. She poignantly states, quote, "Pentecostals focus on some key aspects of change that secular NGOs continue to ignore. They are exceptionally effective at bringing about personal transformation and empowerment. They provide the moral legitimacy for a set of behavior changes that would otherwise clash with local values, and they radically reconstruct families and communities to support these new values and new behaviors. Without these types of social change, I argue, it's difficult for economic change and development to take place," end quote. Notice, societal change can only occur from personal change. That's the power apostolics have, not the social gospel. Our missionaries have always done more for Africa than humanitarian aid. Knowing how we got here as a society through secular ideas is needed to protect our thinking. Further, we can demonstrate that only God orders society well. And the admission to that truth, even by those outside the faith, is staggering today. You give a tremendous phrase in the article, Brother Kilman, when you say, when theology is our lived sociology, we find blessing. Let's unpack that. What I understand you to be saying is that
when the knowledge of God informs how we live individually, and then through the God-ordained family unit, society as a whole is blessed. Is that right?
Well, what that means is you know, that usually the inverse is true. So most people try to approach a theology by letting sociology guide it. So when you have like secular sociologies trying to guide the structure for everything that we do in life, it becomes our rule of faith. So I would say many secular sociological approaches today is the way that people understand life. And the problem with that is it ends in all sorts of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that we understand that God has set in place to build society, like the family unit, then when you get the family unit, God's original unit, right, we know historically that that's absolutely the best thing to build societies, just from the pure data. There's a great little book called The Thriving Society, written by a bunch of Cambridge, Harvard, Princeton, not your normal bastion of like conservative ideals, for at least say from a biblical perspective. And it's a variety of authors, and all of them are arguing for the same point. There's fundamental things that work in society. And if you love society, then you got to treat the individual carefully. You got to treat the family units kind of what we would call sacredly. So when you get theology as lived sociology, man, you're cooperating with the laws of God in such a way that it brings blessing. Without that, the practical implications are just proven true again and again and again, that society's corrupt and ultimately self-destruct by not cooperating with the laws that God has set in nature.
So the individual inside of a family, inside of a tribe, inside of a nation, basically the Old Testament model of society is, you're arguing, is best. And yeah, not well, just you, but these other guys are arguing is best as well.
Yeah, so the admissions right now, like there's a sociology of sociology going on today, looking at kind of the underpinnings of sociology and saying there are huge assumptions that you're making even within sociology itself. So after you get sociological data, you have to, at the end of the day, have a grid of interpretation. And what many people are acknowledging is some of the prescriptions that are given by sociologists are actually predictions that have not proven true.
Okay.
So that means you can say,
let's unpack that for a minute. Yeah. You were just starting to. Go ahead.
Well, you would say this will work in society. The problem is every bit of the sociological analysis that we have from history and even today prove that it's absolutely not the case.
Okay.
So the truth of God is on display in creation, not just like in the created world, like the stars and mm-hmm. the intricacies of the created world, but also in how we interact as people, because there's fundamentals in the way that we're made, created in the image of God, that are constants. And to ignore them, we do that at our peril, both individually and as a society.
And as a society, yeah. Fascinating. That's awesome. You also bring to light another great quote. I don't think that Dr. Freeman is an apostolic.
No, she is not.
Yeah.
A British social anthropologist.
But paraphrasing, she says, Pentecostals provide the moral legitimacy to behavior change when it clashes with local values and customs. So from a secular or sociological standpoint, this is probably fascinating for them. But as for us as Pentecostals, it's just kind of like, well, sure.
Well, yeah, see, there's a jump there, right? Because as apostolics and Pentecostals and anybody that would be in a conservative kind of biblical approach to the world, mm-hmm. we have fundamentally denied something that the world has embraced, the lie of multiculturalism. So multiculturalism says all cultures are basically equal or the same. Well, we know that that can't be the case. And so what's fascinating is this British social anthropologist and economist is saying that when you look at Africa as a case study, you have to admit that they have done more than all the other humanitarian aid organizations combined. Why? Because they confront the individual and their culture.
That who has done more than...
Pentecostals have done more for Africa than all humanitarian aid organizations combined.
Wow.
Which is shocking, right?
Because they're confronting the individual and challenging the individual for transformation and change and living according to. Is that, that's what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. And more, and so more pointedly, she says that Pentecostals focus on key aspects of change, which these other humanitarian aid organizations continue to ignore. Wow. And she says without those fundamental things that Pentecostals have been able to do, which is confront the individual and their culture, you can't really bring societal change. She said, you're just throwing money at the problem unless you can bring personal transformation. And again, which is fascinating to me, that's a denial of multiculturalism.
Wow.
But again, she's just pointing to the data and pointing to what actually works.
Yeah. Let's keep moving here to the next comment. You say societal change can only come from personal change, which is what we were kind of just talking about. At the end of the day, top-down efforts from some puppet master above, be they using Facebook tools or media, can these top-down tactics ever stifle a grassroots Holy Ghost movement on individual hearts?
Well, I mean, if you take biblical anthropology seriously, then you have to understand revival starts with the individual and then spills out into society. Mm-hmm. So Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And without that renewing of the mind, without individual conversion, you can only bring so much societal change, because the issue is a heart issue. Anywhere you see Christianity lifted up, and anywhere you see revival in terms of conforming, and again, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's right, but it starts with repentance. Mm-hmm. And that fundamental thing first, that we repent of sin and turn our hearts towards God, has brought incredible revivals just in repentance. Because then when you start with that, then of course the revelation of God always comes. And then when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost working in the heart and life of an individual, man, you can bring massive, massive change. So Brother Mooney was talking to a man in the airport, and he was an IU professor, and the conversation kind of spills open. And he says to him, you know, what do you do? He says, I'm studying, you know, South America. That's what I teach and is field of area of study. And he's talking about South America and all the issues that are going on. And Brother Mooney says to him, just kind of casually, but you really can't understand kind of what's going on in terms of the revolutionary changes in South America without understanding the Pentecostal revival, can you? And immediately the IU professor stops and says, that's exactly right. Who are you? Because because in secular society, it's the most ignored, and because they're afraid of it. Because they can't control it. But that professor said to Brother Mooney that the Pentecostal revival has shut down revolutions.
Yeah.
And so when you get the human heart to cooperate with the intention of God, boy, that alignment brings about tremendous social change.
Yeah. So just to kind of look at something that you said here earlier, you said repentance brings revelation.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. And
because
when the heart truly turns to God.
Yeah, the humbling of humanity to say, wow, this is, you know, we really need saviors.
Yeah.
We really need a savior. We really need Christ. Wow, that's awesome. So, Brother Kilman, let's circle back around to a previous comment you made talking about humanitarian aid. So I know you, I work with you on a daily basis. I don't think that you're against humanitarian aid. We have good apostolic humanitarian organizations that are endorsed by the UPCI. Compassion Services International works all around the globe to give not just humanitarian aid, but to try and further the local influence of the missionary that's there as well. So what role does that humanitarian, because you're not against humanitarian aid.
No.
Speak to us a little more about that.
Well, see, there's a fascinating things happening right now. Like Brother Stewart in Liberia and his ministry converted four war generals, right, that participated in apartheid, killed thousands and thousands of people. And now they're Jesus-named preachers. So fundamentally, revival starts with the heart of the individual. And you could talk about all the societal issues that are connected with that. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be involved in helping. That's just, that flows out of a heart that's changed. So if you look at the book of Corinthians, Paul had mentioned the need. It was actually prophesied by Agabus, and the need of an offering came available because this prophesied famine was coming. God tipped them off. And so the church at Corinth was going to take up an offering to help in Jerusalem. And Paul said, I'm going to come by, send somebody by to do that. And so I think, you know, helping people in need is absolutely scriptural. As a matter of fact, some of the early records we have that early Christians were known in the Roman Empire, even under increasing persecution, as they were known for kind of selfless giving. So after the Punic Wars, Rome really, the family unit disintegrated. It became a more decadent, much more sexually egregious society. And the family continued to disintegrate to the point that the Christians that took care of the poor and helped people that were destitute, they called them the third race of people because their compassion was so far removed from what was normal in society, they called them a third race of people. Wow. So that testimony even caused some Roman officials to say, look, I know that we're supposed to stop Christians, but don't be too harsh on them.
Because they're helping people.
That's right. Like Pliny the Younger.
Doing that humanitarian aid. Yeah.
And that was a huge testimony to a life that's changed. So the challenge is to not let the tail wag the dog, which is where I think our organization has really been particularly focused. And groups like you mentioned, CSI, that go and work with a local missionary to show that we have compassion and we're doing this as a Christian work so that you can understand that we love you. And then out of that, we have that extra thing, that real thing that is more than just digging wells. Yeah. So our missionaries in Africa have absolutely done more than anyone ever digging wells there. Even Freeman, you know.
Not your words.
Yeah, that's right.
Not your words.
And so everyone is acknowledging that revival around the world. But with that comes that natural outgrowth of touching people in need. And when you touch people in need, especially in those types of circumstances, I think that balance is a beautiful thing to spread the gospel.
And that humanitarian effort works in Africa the same as it works in North America.
Yes.
In any place.
That's right.
So it's just love God and love people, you know.
The power of the Pentecostal revival is to change hearts in so much that they actually love their neighbor.
I think we can just end it right there. Brother Kilman, thank you so much for your time.
That's absolutely
It's always a pleasure to get to hang out with you and hear your thoughts.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate y'all's hard work.
Thanks again for joining us today, wherever you are. If you find this episode or another episode of the podcast of particular interest and would like to hear more, please let us know by emailing podcast@go2ibc.com or by dropping us a line on Facebook. August and September both saw the highest amount of downloads in the history of our little podcast here, and we know that you are to blame for that, of course, in the most kind way possible. Your shares and subscribes have not gone unnoticed, and we say thank you. Indiana Bible College's spring semester is a great time to be here as a student. You get to be a part of IBC Live, Connect, and Theology Conference, all happening this spring semester. For more information, visit indianabiblecollege.org/admissions to learn how you can join the IBC family in January, but you need to do it by November 16th, the application cutoff.
Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study: biblical studies, worship studies, and our newest major, missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.